I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know
if he'd come up.
I'm glad that I know no tomorrow. Yes.
Amen.
And I'm glad that he leads me. I'm glad that even when I don't understand what's going on, yeah, I don't agree with what's going on, he knows it all. He covers it all. He takes care of it all. And I'm glad to know that when I lay down at night, when I wake up in the morning, or if I don't wake up in the morning, I know who's in control.
Amen.
I'm glad he loved me enough to save me.
Amen.
I'm glad he loved me enough to live for me, to die for me, to resurrect and go to heaven, to take me there. And he told me, he said, if I go, I will come and get you.
Yep.
And he may not come for you all, but he told me he's coming for me.
Yeah.
He's going to come for you if you want to go with him.
Right.
But
amen.
I'm glad he said to me, I'll come get you if you're mad. I'm just so, it's so good
yes
to know who he is.
Amen.
And
amen.
So I'm so thankful to call him my Savior and my friend.
Amen.
Bless you, Rob.
Come on.
Bless
you, Rob, you come on up. I'm going to get out of the way. Just want to invite everybody back tonight. I know it's going to be cold, but the Lord's blessed us with a nice place to worship. Trent Johnson will be preaching tonight. So I don't know if you knew that or not, Trent, but you're preaching tonight. And so anyway, make your way out again this evening. The Lord will bless you this morning and this evening.
I want to introduce who we have this morning, because you don't know who he is. You know who he is. But I just want to tell you, I spoke with JR early in December to try to get him to come out and preach. And he said yes. And we worked for date after date trying to find, and nothing worked out. So finally, today worked out. And he says to me, he says, "Can I bring my guitar and lead the worship?" I said, "Absolutely." Checked with Chris, and he didn't mind. Checked with Kim, she didn't mind. So he's not just going to speak to us this morning. He's going to lead us in worship this morning. But I wanted, the reason I wanted to come up and introduce him is because I want to tell you a little story about him. A month or two ago, we were in Morgantown after one of Alyssa's concerts. And we went to favorite place to eat, Chick-fil-A. And so we're there eating, and JR and his buddy walks in. And he comes over and speaks to me. And that's all I want to tell you. He thought I was cool enough to come and talk to. I'm just kidding. I know that's wrong. But what happened was, when they got their food, now we're in Chick-fil-A, a bunch of college kids and all that, you know. When they got their food, no matter who was looking, and took their hats off, bowed their heads, and prayed. Didn't matter who was looking. And to me, that meant a lot. And I thought, that's a young man that I can follow, that I have respect for, and that I'm glad that this morning is going to lead us in worship and preach to us. And then come back tonight, and that awesome gentleman right there, young man, will preach to us. So, JR and Adam, and I asked if I could play that, but they didn't think it was a good idea.
That's Isaac, Rob.
Isaac. Hey, come on. He said I could play it if y'all want me to. Y'all want me to play that? You want it to be good.
Eli, you can go ahead and hit next. If you guys want to stand, actually, I'm not going to pretend that I have the most amazing voice or anything. So I think there's something special about worshiping together. Like, there's no sense for me to stand up here and be the only one singing if, you know, God can be praised by more than just me. So I got the words up here. Some of them you might know, some of them you might not, but the words are all there. If I can get the cape here. They're all pretty easy to follow. Eli's up front running the laptop. Eli, you can sit down. You don't have to stand up and run it if you... Does anybody have a word while I'm getting this ready? Is it working, Eli? You may, maybe. Is it coming through? Okay. So this song is a spiritual medley, so it goes bounces around from a few different songs. I'm sure you know most of these, so here we go.
Can't nobody love me like Jesus. Can't nobody love me like the Lord. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. He's my friend. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. Can't nobody love me like the Lord. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. He's my friend. Jesus, won't you come by here? Jesus, won't you come by here? Jesus, won't you come by here? Now is the needy hour. Now is the needy hour. Jesus, won't you come by here? 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 come by him, will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. And I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, trust him more.
That sounded awesome, guys. Does anybody have a word? Anytime, insider. Yeah, if you guys can sit down if you want to. You can stand up, sing, doesn't matter. Whatever you feel in your hearts. But yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. Anytime after a song, if you guys feel like God's telling you to say something, stand up and say it. Dropped the pick earlier when I was playing, so.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Near, and my time has come Still my soul will sing your praise. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. Is it logged out? Just hit play, Eli. I mean, does anybody have a word while Isaac and I, is this next one? So this one's going to be a little different. I'm going to play, Isaac and I are going to sing, and this one's kind of an older hymnal too, but it's really cool. It's a special song, but this is because, was it Chris, a Hallelujah Breakdown, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah Breakdown. So that's a picture in high school. We were at, so I'm involved in a thing called Young Life, and I did it in high school, and this was a skit that we did. It's going to make no sense if I explain it, but that's what it is. It's a skit in high school. Let me see if I can fix this real quick. Does anybody have a word? Maybe this is God saying that somebody needs to stand up and say something.
In those days, and I am very, very thankful. And sometimes we think about when kids go off to college, we sometimes think about what they do there, or they turn from their ways. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be the best years of your life spiritually.
Right.
So for our young people still looking to those days, I hope you'll determine in your heart to find a ministry on that campus wherever you are.
Yeah.
And get rooted in it. There are good people, God's people everywhere, and that can be a time that the most spiritual growth of your entire life, just as JR is doing. So this really blesses my heart this morning, and I just want to give him praise.
Amen. All right, so we're going to have to, I guess I jimmy-rigged it. So it still works. The word's still up there. It's just trying to quit me out of keynote technology, right? Can't count on it. Sounded awesome. Amen. Does anybody have a word? It's kind of funny that everyone's testimonies are kind of on that path, because like it's how God works, but like that's like what the message is going to be about this morning. So praise the Lord for that. This song is, you might not know it. It's definitely over my college years, I guess. I was introduced to it, and it's like one of my favorite songs. Might not even be able to make it through it because I might get caught up and emotional about it, but. It's just one of those songs that, if you really pay attention to the words, God uses the song to speak to me in a way that he might not use to speak to you, and he might speak to you in a different way through it. just pay attention to the words. Definitely sing along. It's easy to catch on to, but yeah.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Yes, we're free, free, forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested, my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Does anybody have a word? I just realized I don't have a mic, but I'll be fine up here.
I died and I became alive. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I died and I became alive. You know, that's the way Paul put it. For me to live, it's Christ.
say, I hate you, 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 because all bad things come from him and all good things come from God.
Right.
And it just makes me hate the devil just that much more. And, so I'm glad that when tragedy comes, that where I am, God can still counsel me and talk with me about it. And Christ can remind me that he's defeated death, hell, and the grave, and helps me. You all pray for me.
Amen. So I was, whenever I talked to Rob, I think it was probably more complex than he even explained. We tried one day, and then it was like, well, you know, we got the Advent stuff. And I really felt like God was putting it on my heart to lead worship. So I wanted to do a time where, you know, since I am in town, you know, and not up at WVU, that I could come and do both. Thank the Lord it worked out. But so I was thinking about what to talk about this morning and kind of going over stuff. And I kind of started going over stuff during finals week. So those of you that, I mean, if you went to college, you know. So finals week, you don't have class. So it's just, you have your tests, you have exams, but they're not necessarily the same time that your classes were. So you have, like, huge gaps of just, like, nothing and, like, not having to do anything. And it's, like, it's weird because you're used to your days being so slam-packed and, like, all right, I've got class at 10 a.m. I've got, you know, got to get lunch at some point. I've got another class, then I've got, you know, tutor, you know, whatever. So I had a lot of time to, like, sit on this and think about it. But I don't think time did me good. I think it the time made me try to second guess what I felt like God wanted me to talk about, and I was like, no, like that's a little, like, it's different, God. Like, I don't know that's the direction that, like, I don't know. I was just trying to make it JR and not God, and I was trying to, you know, just do my own thing. But God kept bringing me back to this, and so I don't want to do a typical New Year message, because isn't the statistic like a ridiculous percentage of your, like, New Year's resolutions, like, you drop, like, you don't stick with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide a New Year's message in a normal message. So so that way you can take something from it, and you don't have to think of it as a resolution. That way you can stay with it. So I was so super confused about this, because it wasn't anything that, like, maybe it was good, because it wasn't something that I knew a ton about. So I really had to rely on God in what he was teaching me and what I was reading. And I had to do a lot of research and a lot of just prayer about it. So it's kind of, I don't know why God put this on my heart, but it's something that really has bothered me for a while. And I don't know, it's kind of something that we don't really talk about. The first part of the message, it's kind of a shorter bit. The first part is, and it's directed more towards those of us that would consider ourselves believers, would consider ourselves followers of Christ. But if you don't follow Christ, I still want you to lean in and grab something from this, because I think it's something that we can all really grab onto and learn something from. So I heard this, the kind of the title of the beginning part, I heard on a trailer for a new movie coming out. I don't remember if, like, it's like God's Not Dead 3. That might be the one that's coming out. It's a movie like that. And it had kind of put into words everything that I had seen being up at WVU, having friends that might not necessarily follow Christ, and just kind of hearing from them, like, what they think about Christianity, and kind of their mindset. And this is what it said in the trailer. This girl, she's talking to her friend, and it really, like, I just had an epiphany moment. I was like, wow, like, that's it. I think we have a problem. We have to address it, because if we don't address a problem, we try to sweep it under the rug, then it's not going to get fixed. You don't fix problems that you don't, you know, go after. You don't accidentally fix problems. So the problem is that, and this is, like, on me. It's easy. It's getting easier for the world to know what Christians are against, and harder to know what we're about and what we're for and what we believe in. And that just really hit me, because I think. Up at WVU, as you can see, I've only learned how to do two things since I went to high school. I learned how to grow facial hair, and I learned how to play a guitar. And neither of which I learned how to do that well. As you can see, it's not a full beard, and, you know, the guitar is a guitar. But there's always these people in front of the lair. The Mountain Lair is like the student union at WVU. And it's kind of like a free speech zone. So literally anybody can go and say literally anything they want in that free speech zone. No consequences, nothing. You can just say, I mean, unless you're hurting someone. But as far as words go, you can literally go and say whatever you want. And typically, what I've seen a lot is I've seen these preachers or like just these followers of Christ that go up and the words that are coming out of their mouth to a college that I would not consider the majority of to be believers, just didn't make sense to me the way that they were talking to these people, and they were talking to these people that didn't know Christ. They would be yelling things, you know, like God hates this person, God hates that, God hates you for drinking and going out and partying, God hates you for this and God hates you for that. And I'm like the world is already telling them that they suck.
Yeah.
So if we're just blending in with, hey, like, God hates you because, you know, you went out and drank last night, or God hates you because, you know, you slept around with that girl and, you know, you're not married to her. That just, to me, like, I'm listening to that and I just want to stand up there and be like, no, like, that's not God. Like, God loves you. Like, God wants more for you. You know, you're in these things, and that's not what God wants for you. But God doesn't hate you because you're doing these things. Because we know, like, no sin is worse than the other. And no sin is, like, you know, not as bad. So if that's true, that God does hate this person for doing this, then God hates me for lying. God hates you for getting mad at someone whenever they cut you off on the road. God hates you for the littlest sin that you can think of. God doesn't count any sin as differently. So if we're going to say that God hates these people, then God hates all of us, and that's not true. We know that that's not true. We know that that's not where God comes from. So we have people all across the world that have little to no idea of Christianity, and some that do. Like, let's face it, whenever you might get an eye roll if you tell someone you're a Christian, they might just, oh, you're one of those. You're a Christian, you know, holier than me, you know. So like, and that's not what God wants these people to think. If that's what these people are thinking, then we have a problem. And it's a problem that needs to be addressed. But the awesome thing about that is where a lot of people have such a negative idea about Christianity and about believers and about Christians, if you're the one person that's there, everyone's telling them, you know, God hates you, God doesn't like you for this, and you're like, no, like, God loves you, they're going to remember that you told them that God loved them. And they're going to remember that all this stuff they've been hearing that's just the masses, if there's one person saying something different to them and living something out different to them, that's going to catch their eye. And they're gonna notice that, and they're gonna see that. I've been reading a book called Mere Christianity. It's by C.S. Lewis. It's an awesome book. If you haven't read it, it's amazing. But the whole like premise of this book is that men have made man-made rules about Christianity, and sometimes we let those rules divide us. And they're not rules that necessarily God created. They're not rules that necessarily are super important to follow to follow Christ. And we're making it so complicated for people to follow Christ that they think that it's a checklist that you have to, okay, I have to come to church, I have to get baptized, I have to do this. And those things are important, those things are great. But whenever we honestly, and I don't mean to sound drastic when I say this, but we need to dumb it down to just, hey, God loves you, God cares about you, Jesus died for your sins, and I love, the love that's in me is the love that only comes from Christ. That's what we need to start with. I was thinking, you know, if a school's trying to recruit an athlete to come to play, right? They want them to come to their school. They're a big 5-star athlete. They want to get him in their school. They want to get him on their sports team. The recruiter doesn't lead with, well, you know, the facilities aren't that great. You know, the food in the dining hall is not awesome. We don't have tutoring for you, so if you're on the, you know, you're just kind of supposed to keep up with your schoolwork on your own. You're kind of on your own. Sorry, like, things aren't great, but still come, you know, come. It's great. We want you to play football here. No, they're going to start with a recruiter that pitches like that is a school that nobody's going to play sports at. So the recruiter is going to lead with, man, there's a dining hall in your dorm. Like, the tutors ride your bus with you. Facilities are open 24/7. If you want to come shoot basketball at 3 a.m., you come shoot basketball at 3 a.m. because somebody's there. You know, the food's awesome. All you can eat. There's always a grad assistant in the gym, somebody to work with you. That's how they're going to sell it. So, and not to make Christianity exactly like that, but because it's not, but if that's how, with most things, we would sell trying to get someone to be a part of what we're a part of, then why are we selling Christianity as well? You know, you need to come to church. You need to get baptized. You need to stop all the bad stuff you're doing. And then it's going to be good and you can come, you know, things kind of suck, but, you know, come be a Christian. Like, no, that's not how we're going to lead with it. And not that Christianity is great and it's like nothing ever goes wrong, but what's different is that, you know, we have Christ in that. So I'm going to, in that, if you want to open to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So this is just kind of, I don't want to ever say anything that's not backed by Scripture. So I want to kind of read this just so you can see what God says about it and kind of gather for yourself what that means. So be in mind, the Scripture we're about to read, so Paul is writing to these people, and he's writing to these people that it's like a small group that are Christians, and like the majority is not Christians. The majority are not great people. They're tough people. They're people that probably look at these Christians and are like, no, like, I don't want to be with those people. Like, those people are a little odd. So we'll start at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make in the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer to everyone. So yeah, I mean, right here, God, the Scripture is all God-breathed, and that's Paul talking to these people, and he's saying, hey, like, not everyone is like you. Like, they're just not. Not everyone thinks the way you do. Not everyone acts the way you do. So you can't just treat everyone like someone that's similar to you. Sometimes, if you're reaching people, I lead Young Life, for this, like Jerry was saying, so I now I lead Young Life up in Fairmont at a high school, and things are just different than they are here where I grew up. Kids think differently, parents are teaching their kids a little differently, the things the kids are pushing and the parents are pushing are a little different than they push here. So I can't go up to a kid in Fairmont and, you know, try to love them and, like, introduce them and talk to them the way that I would someone at Ripley High School. They're going to respond to it differently. They've been raised differently, so they're going to grab stuff differently, and they're not going to resonate with things the same as somebody in Fairmont. So, like, in that way, every person that you meet is different. They've got a different story. They've got a different background. So we don't need to be like, okay, this is the way that you witness to others. It's just the way it is. There's just one way to do it. I think we need to realize that God put these people, whenever God, you know, the commission, he wasn't telling us to go all, you know, be this way to this person, and, like, that's it. He was saying, and right here he says, you know, be, let's see, what's the scripture? Let's see the specific wording on it. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer to everyone. So you may know how to answer everyone. That's not saying you answer one way to you know, the same way. It's so that you get to know these people and know how you can pursue them. So that's, like, the first part, and now we're going to branch off differently. I don't know why God put that on my heart, but I felt like it's something that needed to be said and that I needed to hear. So I hope you take something with that. So if you're here this morning and you know the Lord, God's goal through this next part, I believe, is that you'll take what you learn and you'll apply it to your life. Simple as that. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, my hope and God's hope is that your eyes and your heart will be open to Christ's love, and that you would leave here knowing that you're loved, cared about, and important to him. And I think, honestly, I think every message, I would want you to leave that with every time you enter a church and leave. I hope that you would get that. So in thinking about the earlier part of the message, our goal should be to introduce others to Jesus Christ and to help them better in their faith. So not just introduce them to Christ and, like, leave them, like, okay, you're saved, that's it. No, like our goal is, our purpose is to better them and help them better their faith. Like we have not, we're not at the same place we were whenever we met Christ, right? I would hope not. I would hope that you're not in the same spiritual health that you were when you met Christ. I would hope that you've grown and grown and grown. And that's because somebody poured into your life and helped you grow. So that's what I want you to kind of the parameters of thinking about this. But I think we need to separate it out to kind of figure out what are non-believers thinking? Like what's going through their minds? What's going through their heads every day? And it went through our heads before we met Christ, whether you want to believe it did or not. So we're just kind of go through that. All of us have thought this at some point, like I said. We all have this desire in our hearts to feel loved and wanted and accepted. We all do. You might say you don't, but you know you do. We all have this desire for someone to love us unconditionally, and for someone to care about us, genuinely care about us, and someone that wants us to be better and wants us to grow. And if we don't have Christ, then we're searching and searching and searching for something that doesn't exist. We're searching for true acceptance and purpose outside of a relationship with Christ. And, you know, true acceptance and purpose, the world tries to tell us that, like, that's attainable, that we can find that. You know, you gotta pump into all these different things, make money, be powerful. There's a Tom Brady video that we show sometimes at Young Life Club with one of our need talks. And it's a video of Tom Brady, and it was a few years ago, but he just won, like, 3 straight Super Bowls, like, MVPs. And he's like, you know, what do you think? Like, what is this? Like, what's next? And Tom Brady sits down, and he looks at the interviewer, and he's like, you know, he's like, I just feel like there's got to be more than this. And the first time I watched that, I was like, dude, like, you've won Super Bowls, like, you're making money, like, you have a beautiful wife, like, you've got kids, you know, you're, like, living this awesome life. Like, what do you mean there's got to be more? Like, how can there be more than that? But I think like that proves, like, if Tom Brady's not satisfied with money and power and all these things that the world tries to tell us is important, and like once you get up to here, everything's gonna be good, you're gonna be loving life, you're gonna be, you know. And it kind of reminds me just now, Andy Stanley says this thing. He says, I'm trying to think of the exact quote, so every time that you're being rich, your mindset is you can be richer. So there's never like a point where you're like, there's always going to be somebody that has more money than you. There's always going to be an idea of rich. Even when you are rich, like compared to the rest of the world, we're wealthy beyond like anything else. But in our minds, we're like, no, like there's people that make more money than me. Like there's people that, you know, have more power than me. And that's rich to us. So every time we get to that point, there's going to be more. There's going to be a higher ceiling. And the world tries to give us the illusion that we're getting closer and closer and closer to accomplishing what we desire, the power, the love, like the care. The world tells us that we're getting close to that. I mean, it baits us closer and closer and closer to danger. Because in your heart and my heart, if it, like, say we're thinking this way, in your heart and my heart, we want to get as close to wrong as we can without being wrong, right? Like, if we're, you know, we want to get as much money as we can before we're greedy, right? We want to get as much power as we can before we're not using that power to help others and to love others. We want to get as close and close to that line as we can without actually crossing that line. But, I mean, as you guys know, like, every time in my life that I've been like, okay, well, you know, this is okay, but this isn't. So, like, doing this is okay, but once I get to that point, like, I'm going to stop. And, like, that line, once you get closer and closer and closer to it, is blurry. And you don't know, you forget, okay, now where did I draw that line? You know, where did I say I was going to say this or no? And then by the time you get to that line, like, you've already crossed it, it's 50 feet behind you, and you're making a new line of, well, you know, I'll stop when I get close to here. So when we're living our lives narrowly avoiding the fine line between good and bad, just to satisfy world, so, like, if we're not living for Christ, we're living for this world, we're trying to satisfy a world that is going to kick us to the curb once it's done with us. And we're going to end up broken and empty. So Christians, like, that's where we come in. So the world, if you're not following Christ, you're going to end up broken and empty. Like, there's no, like, you might turn out okay. Like, no, like, you're, like, the wages of sin is death, right? So, like, you're going to end up broken and empty whether, you know, if you don't have Christ. So, like, we know what fills, so why are we sitting on our butts and not telling everyone else why it fills, you know? I saw this quote, I don't remember the girl. She said, I can't be a Christian because if I believed everything that a Christian believes, I wouldn't be able to cross somebody on the street without loving them and telling them what I believe and how much God loves them. I mean, that kind of hit me. That's kind of not really, you know, along with the points, but that just kind of hit me. And, you know, I mean, I think that's powerful. So if we're sitting on our bus thinking, no, like, someone else will introduce my friends to Christ, someone else will talk to my coworker, someone else will go and, you know, and be kind to this person that not everybody likes, you know, we think, no, we'll let someone else do that. And the thing is that I've learned as I've gotten older is that, like, God doesn't need me to do this. Like, it's going to get done. Someone else is going to step up and do it if I don't. But someone else is going to get that blessing from it. And that blessing is not necessarily, you know, you do something and you make a lot of money. This past summer, I got the opportunity to work at a Young Life camp for a month. And it was hard, you know, super spiritual and very, like, mentally and physically taxing. But the biggest takeaway from that month that I think was God's, like, purpose for me being there is realizing that, you know, God doesn't need us to get things done. Serving is the blessing. It's like being able to, like, be used by God in that way. Being, like, having that, like, that's special. Like, we see serving as, like, okay, you know, I've got to get up and go help with the food pantry. I've got to get up and, you know, play music, or I've got to go do this. It's just what I've got to do. And we don't see that as the blessing because God really, like, he doesn't need us to get things done. Like, other people are being told, God's whispering in their ear, like, hey, go talk to that, your coworker. Like, I know they're mean, but like, go talk to them. God's whispering in one of your other coworkers' ears too, telling them to do the same thing. So, like, it's going to get done whether you do it or not, but you doing it gives you that blessing of being a part of what God has designed for our lives. So if you guys want to open to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. So to kind of set up as you're looking, Isaiah is, he's having this this vision, Charlie. He's having this vision of, he's with God and he's in this room and it's like crazy. Like if we try to picture what's going on, we're like, wow, Isaiah was a nut. But he's in this room with God and he's having this vision and like smoke's being filled that like represents just like Christ filling up an entire room and like just the glory in the place. And so Isaiah's just sitting here and he's like, just taking it all in. And he's like, wow, like God, like praise you, you know? And so starting at verse 8, it says, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, and I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell his people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of these people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And then I said, for how long, Lord? And he said, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And so, you know, here in 6:8, verse 8, he says, here I am, Lord, send me. And God didn't force Isaiah to volunteer. You know, Isaiah was so in tune. I think this is super important for us as Christians to have this two-way relationship with Christ where we're so in tune with him, where we're reading his word, where we're talking to him every day, where we're praying and just growing closer and closer and closer. And we're so in tune that you know, we can feel him and we're like, all right, God, like, I can't say no. Like, I'm in. Like, tell me where to do. I'm there. If you want me to go here, I'll go. If you want me to do this, I'll do this. It might be hard, it might suck, but I'll do it. And so we, like, my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that I would come to, like, within myself, have the attitude that Isaiah has of just willingly taking God up on his offer to serve the kingdom of God. And it never says that loving, caring, and teaching others is going to be easy. Like, in fact, God says, like, the opposite. He says how hard it's going to be and that those whom, like, literally, God is telling you to do something. Like, God's telling Joey, he's like, hey, go to Ripley High School. He's like, hey, but most kids won't listen. A lot of people are going to say you're weird. A lot of people, you're going to catch a lot of flack for what you're doing. Like, it's going to suck. Sometimes you're going to feel alone. But I'm with you. But sometimes it's just going to be hard. Like, God's telling us that up front. He's like, hey, it's not going to be easy. But the reward and what and others meeting Christ and others feeling loved and others being accepted is, like, so worth it. And one point that I wrote down that I feel like is, like I don't think I must have heard it somewhere, because, like, I think it's just a really awesome, like, way of saying it. Our view of God, our view of ourselves, and our view of sin and of grace, our view of those things is essential to what God has called us to do in our faithfulness. So, like, how we see God and how we view ourselves and how we view sin and how we view grace and all those things that are important to the gospel, all those things are essential to have that faith that Isaiah had to go out and be like, all right, God, like, I'm here. You want to send me there? Like, yeah, it might be rough, but, like, I'm there. And I think a big thing to take from this is that, like, Isaiah, he was a pretty plain guy. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, he was just an ordinary person. But he was willing to step out and let, in his faith, and let God do extraordinary things through him. So that's what, my prayer is that we would come and see and value God as Isaiah did, and that we'll just have the attitude of, here I am, Lord, send me. Like, there's people that have these bad, like misconceptions of Christianity and of Christians and about you. And I want to break that entire idea down. So the question that I want you guys to ask yourself this is, how do we get someone to come around and give Christ a chance? Well, I think, you know, the short answer is you invite them, you love them, you be around them, you go out of your way. Not you might necessarily do something that is hard for you or that's, like, an inconvenience to you, but if it's helping someone else, especially, I mean, just in general, but, like, if they're not believers, like, go out and do something that might not be, hey, like, Jesus loves you, live it instead of saying it sometimes. You know, sometimes actions speak louder than words, and I can tell someone Jesus loves him, but, like, if right after that I'm, you know, talking about them behind their back, or I'm just like, well, you know, like, that person, they're not great people, then, like, what I said to them means nothing. You know, but if I live that out and I love them and I go the extra mile for them and I just go and live out the way that Jesus lived whenever he was down here on earth, that's going to stick with them. I think we're all here because someone invited us to be here. You know, some of you might have just, like, stumbled into church one morning, and, you know, that's great. But I think the majority of us, someone was like, hey, I care about you enough. I want you to come to church this morning. I want you to come to Gold Town Church this morning. Like, you know, we're having... you know, JR, he's such a great guitar player, and, like, his singing voice, like, I'm surprised he's not, like, on American Idol, and, you know, like, he's great, like, you gotta come see him. Somebody loved you enough to, and cared about you enough to say that, at one time. So, I think if we're not doing that for others, we're literally just wasting the opportunity that God's given us by putting us here. Another thing to ask yourself is, how do you figure out your role in this? So is your role just, you know, just to be kind to someone? Is it to work, you know, to do different things? Like, what's your role in what God wants you to do? So my senior year of high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with life. I was trying to decide if I wanted to play college baseball or not. I had opportunities, and I was like, you know, like, this would be awesome to be able to do this. But I realized that, so I've been playing it all my life, and I was trying to use it as this last puzzle piece. That there's this whole puzzle, right? Like, 100-piece puzzle, and there's, like, one piece missing, right? And you have some other pieces from other puzzles that you can try to, like, shove into that one piece and, like, make it work. And it might, like, distract people from the rest of the puzzle. Like, the rest of the puzzle might distract people from that one piece, and it might look like, okay, just glancing through it, it looks normal. But it doesn't look the way that the creator of that puzzle intended the puzzle to look. It's not as beautiful as it was intended to be with that last puzzle piece. So I was trying to fit baseball and sports as my last puzzle piece and try to make it fit, and, like, I would cut it up different times and, like, try different ways to make it fit and to make it sit, and, you know, okay, it fits, nope, it popped out. So I realized that, like, that was what I was using it as, and I was kind of wrestling with it, and sometime in the winter of my senior year, I was watching an Andy Stanley video, and if you want to convince yourself of why you should go and why you should, you know, love others and invite others, think of this. I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to run this through your head. If you got a pen and paper, pull it out. If you got your phone, bring it out right now and get ready to type this down on your phone. And I'll give you some time to do that, because it's really, like, this is something that if you think about this and just kind of resonate it with it and pray on it, like, it could change your life. This is something that, like, until you, if you realize the answer to this, it'll save you a lot of unhappiness and a lot of stress. And if you have pen and paper, like I said, write it down. When you get home, husbands, ask your wives what they were thinking. Wives, ask your husbands, like, ask your kids, ask your parents. Because it's huge. So, based on my past failures, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? So I said again, based on my past failures, my current situation, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? And I think an important part of that is it's in light of my experiences, not in light of Rob's, not in light of Joey's, you know, not in light of Al's. It's in light of my experiences, not what someone else has done, what I've done. Because I think it's important to know, and this is the hidden New Year's message, kind of bunched into this. So what I'm going to do now is eventually it's going to be your past. And as we know, our past show up in our future. So wrap your heads around that. It's like what you're doing right now is one day going to be the past, something you did a while ago. And that's going to pop back in your future. How many of you ever had something you did come back and hurt you in the future or help you in the future? Like, you can raise your hands. You can not, you know. Something that you've done, it always comes back. Things don't go away. Things always come back. I asked myself this for the first time, and I heard it, and I was like, this makes zero sense. Like, what do you mean my current? Okay, it's going to be my past. It's gonna be my future. I was like, it just didn't make sense in my head. I was like, I don't have any goals. Like, what do you mean goals? Like, the only goals I had were, like, you know, I want to be, you know, play college sports. I want to do well in school. Like, I didn't have anything outside of that. I was like, all my goals were, like, material-based, and, like, I had no idea of what was going to be beyond that. And then another time later that year, I had the biggest epiphany because I was asked another question that I honestly, like, I'd never thought of it ever before. I've been a follower of Jesus Christ since I was 6, right? So, like, I've been in church. I've been around all these people, and I'd never heard it put this way. So that's another thing. Write this down. Pull out your phone. This is big. Again, parents, ask your kids. Kids, ask your parents. And pray on this. So this is how you figure out what your role is. Okay, and this one's a little shorter. We're almost done. Not too long. It's almost the end. So what is your holy discontent? So what is your holy discontent? Your holy discontent is what bothers me that bothers God. So it's something, it might be like individually and special to you. What bothers me might not bother, you know, Todd. You know, Jimmy, whenever he was working with in your jail, what was it called? The ministry with the prison mates and stuff. Like, that's something that is special to Jimmy that hurts him that also hurts God. With me, it's high school kids not knowing that they're loved and not knowing that somebody cares about them and not knowing that there's better things for them. That's my holy discontent, and that bothers God too. I have a friend that... what bothers her is teen moms feeling lonely and, like, empty and hurt and, like, discouraged. So she works with teen moms and, like, introduces them to Christ and, like, loves them and helps them. And that's her holy discontent. That's what bothers her that bothers God. So you decide, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend my life going after my holy discontent and witnessing and loving others in hopes that they would see Christ in me and desire a relationship because of that. And that doesn't mean, like, quit your job, don't have a life. Like, your coworkers need love, too. This doesn't have to be, you don't have to be, like, a pastor, be, like, a youth director or whatever, just to love others and just to, you know, go after your holy discontent, right? So, like, the final step to our problem, and you guys can come up if you're doing the altar call. So the final step to our answer is vision. So vision is something that, you know, every letter that Paul wrote was basically a manual on vision, on casting vision on others. If you want to know how to cast vision on others, like, think of things from Paul's perspective and what the letters he was writing, and, like, that's vision. And when we're trying to give someone to give Christ a chance, and they're living in this just darkness and not knowing where they're at and feeling unloved, they can't see what's ahead. They can't see the life. They can't see the greatness. They can't see the love that's ahead of them with Christ. So we, like, as believers, have to cast that into them and be like, hey, like, God is going to do awesome things through you. Like, he loves you so much, and, like, he's going to touch a lot of people through you. And it's so important. And if you don't have an idea of where you're going or where you want to go, how are you ever going to get there? Like, you don't just start driving if you don't know how to get somewhere and then just randomly, oh, I'm here, like, I made it. I had no idea where I was going, and I made it. Like, no, like, somebody tells you how to get there, right? So if we want someone to grow in their relationship with Christ and to love the Lord and to love others and to be that light in the world that's, like, so dark. Like, we know the world is so dark around us, especially, like, nowadays. Like, there's so much hate. And if we want people to feel called to that, like, we have to cast that into them and just tell them what they can accomplish and what's ahead for them. So my closing challenge, like, the end of the year, like, this is the last point, and it doesn't have a lot to do with what we talked about, but I think it's important, and if you haven't done it, do you pray with a plan? Again, like, that doesn't have anything to do with, like, the rest of the message, I know, but it's just something that, as I was, like, closing out, like, God had me write it down, like, literally this morning, he was like, hey, like, you need to, like, ask this. So, like, do you pray with a plan? Like, I know, like, everyone goes and prays at night, pray for meals, but do you pray with a plan? Do you look back at your prayers and then write down when they've been answered? Because I think whenever we're not writing down our wins, when I say wins, I mean, like, just answered prayers, things that God's done for us. Whenever we're not writing those down, it's harder to forget that they happen. It's easier to forget they happened. So if we're writing those down, then if we're writing those down, those answered prayers, we're going to remember those, and we're going to be able to have that faith that we might not have had before. So that's just the last thing I'll leave you with, is just kind of, you know, if you don't have a prayer plan, get that. And this morning, like I said, like, if you are in that darkness and you're searching for things that you might not have, you know, if you're searching for power, for money, for, like, acceptance, for love in the world, like, you're not going to find it. So I just hope that my prayer is that you would see the Lord, that you would see the love through those that do believe, and that you would want to come to know Christ. So,
let's all stand. Turn to page 35. 35. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will. Time after time, he has waited
challenging message. I'm glad he started out talking about how God doesn't see everybody the same, because that's how he can love us all, because we're not the same. I'm glad God sees like that. And in a challenge to me for how to live like God, like Jesus. If you don't have that Savior in your heart, you don't have to be at church to get him. If you don't have that fire in your heart, maybe you're saved, but you don't have that fire, you don't have that gumption that wants you to go out and live like that for Christ, you don't have to be in church to get that. You just have to get in touch with Jesus. Get in touch with Jesus. If you appreciated Rock and Ethan, let him know. See, I tell everybody, I get so nervous behind this pulpit, no matter what I'm doing. And everybody's like, oh, you do not. That I can't even remember the name of somebody I've known before he was born. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, I get that nervous up here, except when I'm getting ready to go home. But when I get so nervous. But if you appreciated and thought that they did an awesome job, Isaac and JR, let them know it. Yeah, we'll be back here at 6 o'clock tonight with another set of awesome people, Trenton and Andrea. And I won't be introducing them, so they'll be made right tonight. Pray for them. Pray for these guys. Pray for these guys, these young ministers, these young people stepping out for God. We need more and more of those. Pray for those around you. Pray for the ones tonight. Anybody have anything?
Probably he's speaking in his will.
Right. Yeah.
You just stay with it. You'll get the message out. Sometimes the enemy will say, no. You do what God tells you, you can't go wrong. If you
Amen.
Do what I tell you to do, but if you do what he tells you, you can't go wrong.
Right. Bless you. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. So, again, like, this is Joey testified earlier. So that if you're interested, you have questions, whatever, I mean, about getting Young Life started in Ripley, it takes a lot of people. It's not just, you know, like everybody can do something to extend and get, you know, God in Ripley High School. So that's January 9th at 7 p.m. So it's like, it's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday. And so if you have any questions, Joey can raise his hand. That's Joey. Just ask him, and he can definitely get you plugged in.
Seven. If we don't know where Fairplane Union is, tell us how to get there. It's not hard.
All right. You get off the Fairplane exit, take a left, pass the gloves, and drive half a mile, and it's the brick church on the left. There's a sign on the other side, and just take a left.
It's near Grace, if you know where Grace Community Church is.
Tim's church is. It's right on the other hill.
Yeah.
Cemetery Drive, isn't it?
Yeah. Something like that.
Now, if you appreciated the one who kept us in the right words, let Eli know. And I'm going to ask JR to go back by the door, shake his hand, tell him you love him, tell him you did a good job.
Oh, I want to say, anybody that was here for adult Sunday school, those were my shoes. We were carrying some stuff, these shoes, I didn't want to get them wet or snowy, so I left them right there, and then we practiced and ran through music, and then I ran back, and then when I came back, Sunday school was starting, so they sat there for the whole time.
In your bulletins, you'll have a couple of youth activities coming up, Winter Jam. We've got a conference, in a youth conference in Charleston. So read your bulletin. Bring your kids out to it or send your kids out to it. We'll take them and have a good time and learn about Christ. If everybody would bow your heads, John Linton, would you dismiss us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us here this morning safely. We'll be with us on the way home. Lord, we thank you for the message that JR brought to us, that we would always be a light to others, regardless of the situation. We can show your love for others every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.